Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansone-Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title. It's a big book. Love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is called Eagerly Pleased, composed with love by my nephew, Miles Debastian. Thanks for joining us once again. Those of you who know me know I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in the new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, are my co-hosts, Kim and Nicole. Nicole is a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order. And she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same mistakes in their own relationships with each other. Kim is a beautiful woman as well. She's a divorced mother of two. She has so much insightful information from her new job and from her previous job to share with us. This is a call-in show, so please call 646-929-0958 and join us. And please, please call and tell us about your dreams, because we're going to be talking about dreaming your way to a higher love. Now, I just walked in the door today. It's been a hectic day for me. It's been a hectic day for Kim and Nicole since it was Kim's birthday. I did a workshop tonight. It was for an organization called COPE, which deals with people who have lost their children. And it was really hard kind of meeting for me. We were trying to give some comfort, some messages from their children who have crossed over. And sort of got a little delayed there. So I just walked in the door. I want to hear how Kim's day went first, since it was her birthday, and then we'll get on with dreaming.
Well, today was the best birthday ever, Cindy.
I love it.
Did get my reading with you, and I want to discuss that with you a little bit later on. just one specific part of that. It was great. Nicole and I went a little shopping. There's good news and bad news. Marshall's opened up 2 miles from my house, which is the good news. And the bad news is Marshall's opened up 2 miles from my house. And the line was like 200 people long, so I couldn't
really
get the stuff that I wanted to. Yeah. And we had a great lunch at Panera's. We got to see you. And we went to my favorite restaurant in Wading River.
Which is?
Only one restaurant in Wading River. that would be La Plage. That's actually on Zagat's top 5 restaurants in Long Island. And it's waterfront. And it always brings back pretty good memories for me. So we had a great time. And Nicole, actually, she shared her duck with me, which was very nice. Not everybody shares the duck. And we had a really great time. We sat on the beach afterwards, and it was really great.
It was a nice birthday.
For a wonderful day, Nicole.
And Nicole, I have to gift her with a reading, too, because she didn't get one on her birthday. So Nicole gets a reading anytime she wants, a gift that she can call in anytime. You know, when she needs it. So,
well,
that,
thank you very much.
That's the news.
And Nicole took the day off, so I really do appreciate it.
Yeah, well, Kim wanted a miracle for her birthday, and I took a day off, so there was her miracle.
Yeah, that's, you know, I was kind of wondering how you were off today. So I said, I bet you she did.
Yeah, no, I knew that it was Kim's birthday, and.
And I told Phil I'd kick his ass if he even made one phone call, so.
Yeah,
well,
no,
he's
I knew
more
it was
afraid
Kim's
of me than he's afraid of her. So.
Yeah, well, I knew it was Kim's birthday, and I knew that, you know, Kim deserves a really special day. So, you know, me and the kids cooked something up early this morning, and we just had a nice day from there on. So I'm
and
very, very happy to have been a part of that special day. So,
if you remember, we call those things gifts of the heart. You gave her a gift of the heart by taking off today, even though it wasn't easy for you to do, right?
Yeah.
And that was really, really special. And so I'm glad to hear she had a good birthday. And, of course, I found it amusing that while Kim was getting her reading today, Nicole was asleep on the couch with her, you know, lucid dreaming, you know, she's been doing. And you, can you tell us a little bit what the book you're reading and what lucid dreaming actually means? Because maybe some of our, you know, clients out there and our listeners don't know what that means.
Okay, absolutely. Basically, the book that I'm reading now, I've read a couple of books about lucid dreaming. The one that I'm in the middle of now is by Robert Wagner. And it is called Lucid Dreaming, Gateway to the Inner Self. And like you said, Cindy, for those who don't know what lucid dreaming is basically the ability to realize that you're dreaming when you're dreaming and to actually control the state of the dream. You know, all a lucid dream is just a dream where the sleeper is just aware that they're dreaming and they could actively participate, you know, in that particular
which is an empowering thing to do, right? Because if you can control your dreams, you can probably control the rest of your world.
Well,
it also shows that the subconscious mind isn't something that we can't get some control over, which is important because dreams come from the subconscious mind. And if you can really control where your dreams are going, that means you're starting to have some control over that part of our brain, which normally we're not easily able to do that for. So it is really empowering to be able to do that. Have you had any lucid dreams since you've been practicing this?
I have been practicing, and I can tell you right now that different portions of lucid dreaming, you know, deal with different things. Some people want to fly, and they're able to fly in this and that. The reason why I started this was because it seemed like my dreams were trying to tell me something. And every time I got to that point of learning whatever that was, I would get anxiety and I would wake up right at the most pertinent point. So the reason why I started this was because I wanted to be able to keep myself asleep in order to learn whatever my dreams were trying to tell me. And I've had I've had a lot of success with it. I've actually been dreaming about and having almost kind of like a telepathic conversation with the same person for about a month now.
Wow. And
it's
so
very interesting.
All right.
Look, I just floored Cindy. That's not what to say.
All right.
And now
can you tell me a little bit about that? I mean, I kind of like did get stunned. And can you like tell us a little bit more about
that? Oh, you got signs? Is that what you're saying?
She got stunned.
Okay. Yeah. It actually all started back when we did the show about music. Okay, and because for some reason when I was trying to come up with songs, you know, I woke up with this song in my head that I was really, really very unfamiliar with. And that night on the show when we were talking about you know, the different songs, I was going to eliminate that particular song, even though I did look it up and I looked up the lyrics, but something made me say that song. And it all started from there, where this song was just like popped into my head and I had no idea what it was. And basically, I have like the vision of what my ideal soulmate would be. And the dreams have varied from being, you know, just us meeting in passing to actual conversations where at one point, you know, she was actually asking me when we were going to meet and when I was going to finish my book. And she's like, you know what? I can't even talk to you about this now because you're about to wake up. And then I woke up.
Wow. So this is exciting, huh?
Yeah, very. I feel like I'm in a relationship with somebody whom I've never met.
Well, it's fun. Well, soulmates can meet on the soul plane. I mean, that's in the book. They're in my book, Grant Me Higher Love. We do have a section on dreaming. And, you know, I've heard of this before in other books written about soulmates where people have actually met their soulmate on the dreamscape or dream plane before they met them on the earth plane. That's not uncommon, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
I was starting to think I was borderline schizophrenic for a little bit.
No,
so.
I mean, there's a couple of books written on it, and you know, and that's how I've heard about that. So it's not unusual. So that's something that you've sort of stepped into something without realizing it. And that's how I was mostly guided to things. I didn't read about it first, and then it happens to me.
Yeah.
I actually you know, had something like that occur and then realized it. So I've actually read several soulmate stories in which they said they met on that plane first.
Wow.
So that's interesting. So when you meet this person, you've already sort of registered their soul. Does it happen, like, frequently?
I'm actually scanning my, because I did start, for the listeners,
writing it down
again, when you are practicing lucid dreaming or when you want to try to even, you know, just try it out first time out, what you want to do is you want to start a dream journal so that you can start finding the symbolism in your dreams and that you can learn what works for you as far as achieving the lucid dream. So I learned early on that just writing it down when I woke up, it just doesn't work for me because I tend to forget very, very quickly once I'm awake because then I start thinking about my day and like just the dream just gets thrown from my head. So what I've come accustomed to doing is I keep a recorder next to my bed or my couch, actually, because I've been sleeping on my couch, you know, for the last month or so. But, you know, I keep a little recorder there, and then as soon as I'm waking up, you know, I hit the alarm, and then I grab the recorder, and then I just start talking. And then I put it into my dream journal, you know, afterwards, you know, when I have time to actually sit down and listen to it. And since July 17th, I've been doing this ritually, and I could probably count in here about, I'm going to say, 15 or so dreams that all have the same person in them.
Wow. And in the book, in my book, when I have the section on dreams, the gateway to our subconscious mind, I do talk about that you do have to do exactly what Nicole's doing. You got to either put a tape recorder or a journal to write down your dreams if you want to remember them. You know, in order to remember them, you've got to tell your subconscious mind that you want to remember them. The thing that I like about the tape recorder is as you listen back after like a month or two passes, you're sort of in this really altered state of consciousness when you're talking about your dreams. And when you listen, it almost doesn't sound like yourself later on. Have you had that experience first of all, you don't remember that you ever said this stuff.
Exactly.
It's your dream. Am I right? You don't remember that you've actually said this?
Exactly.
It's really weird.
Exactly. Like I played some of them back to me, you know, today just because I wanted to get everything up to date for tonight's show. And when I was going back just to make sure that I didn't miss an entry anywhere, I was like, wow, I completely forgot that I had said, you know, certain things. I completely forgot to write down certain details when I was doing, you know, my playback and I was comparing and contrasting. So yeah, I mean, what I like about the recorder is that when you actually have to sit there and write, you're literally waking yourself up because now you're using more of your conscious mind to get these thoughts out of your head and you're doing an action. You know, most people can actually talk in their sleep, you know, no matter where in their cycle they are. So what I find works for me is just the recorder because I'm still half sleeping when I'm saying this. So I can't
Absolutely.
Get closer to getting the actual dream than speaking it out loud.
Right. And what I found is it was almost an eerie kind of, you know, you're really like, want to listen to it because it's this sort of semi-conscious state in which you're listening fascinated when you listen to these dreams and you forget a lot of the symbolism that's in it or you didn't even notice. And as time goes by, you're going to see some of it predicted the future or dealt with things that were really on your mind. So
I have a dream that I had years ago that involved that. I had been married to my first husband at the time. And I don't know if you all recall the boyfriend that I had in the past, Paul, the one that I was madly in love with as a teenager, my first true
love.
And
he's the one who passed away, right?
He's the one who passed away, yes.
Okay.
And I woke up from a nightmare with my first ex-husband, and I said, oh, my God, I just dreamed that Paul was in a car accident and died. I have to call him. I have to quit. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning. And I don't know where he was, and I you know, the next day I'd called, you know, my mom and my brother to try to get his phone number because it was a very explicit dream where he was killed in a car crash. And
wow.
5 years later or 6 years later, he was killed in a car crash.
So you saw the future. You saw something that was going to occur.
Yeah, that happens with me a lot. I try to put them out of my mind, and they're not always bad dreams. It was just that particular dream. I remember it was so long ago, And I was so just really frightened by it, and I just wanted to call him and you know, tell him about it. And I hadn't spoken to him, you know, probably in a couple of years or so. And I really, and even my ex-husband was like, call him, try to find him, try, because I was that adamant about the dream,
like
that
it
affected me terribly.
And again,
and subsequent years, and I was discussing this with Nicole, I always had this ongoing dream where he would come to me in my dream, and he wouldn't be dead, he would still be alive. And I would say, why did, you know, and he was in some witness protection or whatever in the dream. And I was like, why did you not tell me? Why did you not tell me? Why did you make me go through this pain all these years? And oddly enough, the dream stopped probably, I don't want to give a specific time, but around a year and a half ago. And I stopped having those dreams. And it was very weird because, I mean, even through my marriage, I'd wake up and I'd be like, oh, my God, I'm dreaming about him again. And it keeps coming to me in this dream, you know, and unfortunately through my whole marriage, I would tell my husband, you know, I'll never love anybody like I loved him. And
yeah. Paul came through today on your birthday, remember?
And yeah.
And he came through in the reading when we did. Yeah. He came through. I said, you know, who's that guy? I couldn't remember his name. You know that guy, you know, because he's here. And he came to wish you a happy birthday. You also had a dream last week about a bird, remember, and me, and I said, I've got to call you and tell you that.
Yes, I had a dream that a woman had turned into a bird in my dream. And Cindy, really, I don't dream about you, sorry, but
no, that would be my department.
It's actually, I typically don't, my dreams are the same reoccurring dream, but just that particular night, I dreamt about you, and this woman turned into a bird, And you were very concerned about the bird flying outside because it couldn't fly outside because it was going to die. And then I actually emailed you with the dream, and you couldn't believe the dream. So.
And because I told you that we had found I had actually found a bird floating in the pool almost dead. And my ex-husband was with it because it was his pool, and he's really good with animals. And he took it out, and he was sort of, you know, getting it to, like, stay on the, you know, couldn't fly, and he was opening its wings and trying to get it to dry. And I was telling you, you've got to put it in the garage because it's going to, even though it's not that cold out, it's got hypothermia. You're going to have to leave it in the garage where it's like 90 degrees, like a sauna in that place. Leave it in there and overnight because if.
And that actually happened.
And it was a real thing. I mean, this was really what actually had gone on. Like, you dreamt it that night, but, and that was the night the bird was in the garage the whole night. My husband thought it had flown out, by the way, and I didn't know this. And then that morning he heard it chirping, and he opened the garage door because he thought it already had flown out, and it flew out and went in a tree. So the night that you had dreamed it was the night the bird was actually in the garage the entire night. So that's showing that your dreams are actually able to pick, and even though it's an odd kind of thing to pick up on, the universe just gives you something you can confirm that actually happened, that your dream was actually seeing something that was occurring. Because in other words, that showed that your soul actually had the ability to be a camera and go to another location.
Great.
And see something that was occurring. And because we're soulfully connected, even though it was a silly example,
right,
it's a way of telling you that some of your dreams are actually seeing something that's occurring somewhere else. Because dreams will do that. If we're not paying attention to things in life, they will, like, leave our body. Our soul will say, hey, look, I'm going somewhere else so you can see what's going on. So, you know, because you've been doing this dream analysis and this paying attention.
Well, I haven't
dreams,
actually been doing it so much. I've been doing more meditation before I go to sleep, trying to calm my mind.
Same difference.
And think, you know, real positive thoughts and try to think about, you know, positive evening. So.
Wow. So, again, we've got the lucid dreaming, which is a very good thing to understand your subconscious mind. And in the book, we have things on page 435, dreams and their purposes. Dreaming can help us to remember, process, and come to terms with our repressed feelings, memories, and personal traumas. That usually comes in a recurring dream. So if you get a recurring dream that doesn't go away, it might be bringing forth a memory or a problem or something from the past that we need to deal with. Any recurring dream you have to pay attention to. You know, you really, really have to pay attention to. All my life, I had a recurring dream that I was going to fall in love. And we're not going to talk about this on the air, but I kept having a dream that I was going to fall in love with someone from a particular university, okay? Mm-hmm. I had that dream since I was 19 years old. It eventually came true. Mm-hmm. And it took a long time for it. But any dream that's recurring can be talking about something that's going to happen in the future. Sometimes we have a recurring dream about a person or a place. We oftentimes, you know, the funny part about dreams is they appear to sort of occur out of sequence or out of time. Like, I'll dream now about that I'm still living in my house that I lived in a Meadowbrook Road when Shauna was little. And I'll dream about that house, and I'll dream about that there's rooms in the house that I never saw. And it's odd to dream, but it's really taking place now. So we dream out of sequence of time, and you know, I wonder, why am I dreaming about that particular dream at this particular time? Why am I going back in time to that? Is there any particular recurring dream, Nicole, that you have that, you know, that sort of comes back every year, a couple of years or months or?
What, just throughout my life or recently
throughout
since I've been doing
experiments? Or recently or any time, are you having a recurring dream besides the one that you were meeting your soulmate on the soul plane, which I think is just fascinating? But besides that one, do you have a dream that's occurred to you since you were a child or sometime later on?
Oh, yeah. Yes, actually. Three dreams actually come to mind. There's one where I'm back in my grandmother's old hair salon. You know, I mean, I haven't been there since I was, you know, a kid, since I was must have been like maybe like 8 years old. And there's one where I'm there for some reason, and I don't know why, but there's just, like, everybody's getting slaughtered. Everybody's just getting killed in this dream. It's like this is just a reoccurring nightmare that I've had, and it's always the hair salon, and it's always people getting killed, and I'm always hiding in the umbrella closet.
I'm wondering if that's not a past life, particularly one of World War II for you.
It could be. It could definitely be.
And you might have been in a salon hiding, and it might have been your grandmother's salon, even though your grandma had a salon in this lifetime. Even though Kim works in a salon now, it's very possible you could be remembering a past life of having to hide. You know what I'm saying? That's the kind of recurring dream that could be a past life dream, because some of our recurring dreams are past life dreams. And it's funny because when I was sleeping in TJ's boat, which is a little bit claustrophobic, you know, when you're sleeping in a boat, the whole night I was dreaming about hiding from the Nazis and hiding, and going to have to go to the gas chamber. Now I know that was one of my past lives, was dying in the gas chamber, and I'm wondering if I hadn't hidden in someone's boat in a small cabinet, because all I remember in the dream was being. After a while, I thought I'm going to go die in the gas chamber because I can't take it hiding in this boat in this chamber anymore. I'm so claustrophobic. I'm cramping. I'm hurting. I'm hungry. I'm hot. And disgusting feeling. Is it going to be worse to go to concentration camp? Probably not. So that was really a weird dream, and it didn't stop the whole night long. And I wasn't really uncomfortable in the boat that much, though. Do you know what I mean? Not to have that kind of a dream, but it was a very lucid dream and vivid, kind of the way that lucid dreams are.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes paying attention to these dreams can be revealing something in a past life. So whether they're a past life or, you know, something, only our energy body will tell us. Like when I woke up, I realized, hey, that was really a past life dream. That wasn't occurring now. That was really too vivid and too realistic and too lifelike. And all of my life growing up, I had dreams about hiding from Nazis. It wasn't an unusual dream for me to have in any way, shape, or form. So, again, paying attention, is it a past life? Is it a future dream? Is it something that's actually occurring? I mean, it's complex, the world of dreams. It's not easy. You know, some dreams that can contain images that we've recently just seen on television or in real life, so they may or may not have significance. You know, I know my ex-husband was very, very, like, prone to, if he saw something on television, if he was dreaming about swimming in the ocean or seeing a movie about oceans, he'd have a dream with that in it, you know what I mean, that night. So some of our dreams incorporate what we've seen that day. So the interpreting of dreams is kind of multidimensional.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever actually tried to interpret some of the dreams you're having, some of the symbolism in them? Now
I do that. That's like part of my routine. That's part of my routine.
Is there a recurring image of an? Is there any kind of recurring images, like an ocean, a mountain, a place besides your grandma's?
In one of my reoccurring dreams, there's like tidal waves, and this is actually something that I've interpreted that to a lot of anxiety, attributing to a lot of like anxiety and a lot of stress. Because I seem to have this dream whenever I'm stressed, and it's like a whole bunch of people in the water, and we're getting crashed up against a building. Like the ocean has like come up to halfway through, like to like a skyscraper.
How terrifying!
The water keeps crashing us in, and I'm worried about my brother swimming, and he's swimming next to me, and I keep holding him up above the water, and like people are just going under, but I'm still swimming. So when I did go, you know, to try to interpret the dream. Usually when you're dreaming of the ocean and you're dreaming of a lot of water that way, and it's water that can be perceived as dangerous, it usually means that you're under stress and anxiety. That's what I found when I did look into some of the dream symbolism. And the building itself was representative of being caught, feeling like you're caught between, you know, kind of like a rock and a hard place. You know, and
that again, symbolic. Do you feel sometimes in your life you're stuck between a rock
absolutely.
And a hard place?
Absolutely. Oh my God, yeah.
Also, that could also be a past life dream of having died in a tsunami or something.
Could be.
And it also can represent tidal waves represent and water represents a subconscious mind, because the subconscious mind can sometimes make us feel overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's happening is some of the stress is coming from your subconscious mind, not just from your conscious mind as well. I mean, I don't like to watch movies where there's like a tidal wave or people dying on the ocean or anything like that, because that will always bring that kind of dream into me. You know, the dream of really seeing a big ocean and being overwhelmed by it. During particular times of stress in my life, I know that dream has occurred, and I feel like I'm being like drowning under in my, you know, either it's, you know, all the problems of my life are just submerging me. And,
yeah.
You know, those are one of the most traumatic dreams for me, are the ones in which I'm drowning in an ocean or seeing a huge, huge wave.
Yeah.
And I think I think all of us relate to that.
Yeah, well, in part of what I looked up, you know, as I kept having this dream and I was just kind of saying to myself, you know, well, what is this? You know, usually the tidal wave, like you said, on the more negative side of it, it means that that you might be bottling up your feelings, that there's an overwhelming emotional issue that is basically demanding your attention at that time. But on the more positive note, you can also perceive that kind of, you know, you can also perceive that as that tidal wave clearing away, you know, some of what might be holding you back. It's clearing away of your old beliefs, and that all of those old beliefs are going to be carried away by that tidal wave, that you're in, you know, a truculent state at this moment, but once that tidal wave clears, it'll take that pain or that unaddressed issue with it, you know, and
right,
then it'll
absolutely.
Make everything brand new for you to start into a new place.
When we look at the tarot cards, the Rider-Waite deck is the one I use, or anyone, they use these dream symbolisms in them. They use oceans and waves to represent the subconscious mind in it. That's the water is in a lot of the tarot cards, in a lot of the deck that I use, and I have
mm-hmm.
to look at the water in it. Uses a lot of universal dream symbolism in the tarot deck. That's what I found fascinating when I first was learning it, with how many of these really symbolisms are actually in there that can be quite scary or can be something that you just look at the card and you kind of know what it means. Because it's something that we see in our dreamscape all the time. Flying, that kind of thing, flying. Flying is often a dream about sort of soaring and becoming evolved, and it's very empowering. Flying dreams are very empowering. I mean, we've all had flying dreams, haven't we?
Yeah.
Kim, have you had a flying dream ever?
Not recently, but yes, I'm
Not
sure
recently.
I have.
Well, think back to when you were a kid's dream. Did you ever fly?
Gosh.
Were you ever like Supergirl?
You know, don't laugh. Supergirl is one of the characters I portrayed for years.
I don't really recall.
All the archetypes I've portrayed, she's one of them. Flying, again, sometimes our dreams can just sometimes incorporate the noises from the outside world to keep us going on dreaming. That's an interesting one when the clock radio goes on, it's singing a particular song. And I'm
and the barking dog for 3 or 4 hours in the morning?
The barking dog.
That makes me want to kill the dog. I think I dreamt that I killed the dog.
Oh, God. Kim is going to be the new son of Sam, just so everybody knows, if the beagle doesn't stop barking.
Remember, those of you who don't remember, the dog that kept barking and driving son of Sam insane. That's something. Sometimes it could be like a doorbell. You know, we can make it like, you know, the alarm's going off, it's ringing, we make it a doorbell or something. We go answer the doorbell in our dream. Again, what these dreams are going to tell is something that the more you do the study of dreams, the more you're going to realize what they might be telling. Nightmares can happen for a number of reasons. Nightmares can happen. Sometimes they can be repressed memories coming forth. Sometimes it can be a past life. Sometimes it can be that we've drank too much or, you know, taken some kind of drug or we have a fever. I remember having a fever as a child and having a particular terrifying nightmare when I was having a fever. That was like a pretty scariest one of ever. I'm not prone to nightmares. I very rarely have them. My ex-husband had nightmares all the time. He was always having nightmares. Are you either one of you prone to nightmares?
I don't have too many nightmares, but the ones I have are pretty vivid. And
can you remember what any of them might be?
I'd rather not share them.
Okay, all right. Well, that's okay.
But afraid.
Yeah, they're pretty much, you know, of real life people that I know and
are they real life circumstances coming forth to maybe unhealed issues, do you think?
Sometimes I would believe so, and sometimes, you know, I, if I'm able to, I'll call the person and see how they're doing at that point. Because for me, dreams represent something a little different. I almost feel like sometimes people do come to me in my dreams, whatever it is, you know, and sometimes I call them waking dreams. And I'm a very light sleeper, so if I have a nightmare, it generally wakes me up. In the last several months, I've had particular, you know, dream that I'm almost awakened in pure anxiety, and I'm not a person who has a tremendous thing, like almost a panic attack where I'm like, holy crap, wow, where out of a dead asleep, I wake up like stone cold awake, and that's very unpleasant.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's extremely unpleasant, and if I can share it with somebody, I'll share the dream if I can. If I cannot, I try to just send my positive messages to the person or the people that are involved. So, to me, I think it's more of a psychic thing or a spiritual thing where just people are coming to me. Maybe they just need my positive thoughts, and I'm going to stick with that story.
Well, a particularly terrifying dream I had was after 9/11, and I believe it was a prophetic dream given from my cosmic consciousness. I dreamed that if I didn't evolve at least 10 lifetimes in the next decade and a lot of other people didn't come along in their evolution, we were going to have a massive world war that would make World War II, with 60 million people dead, look like a day at the beach. I saw 600 million mothers crying over dead children. It was the most terrifying dream. And what I've heard from other psychic people or other people who are on an evolving path, they had the same dream. It was given to them. And it's not meant for something to happen. It's meant, like, let's prevent it.
Right.
And so sometimes dreams are given to show us we've got to evolve, we've got work to do, we've got things to do. They're dreams that may be dealing with a larger experience than our own. Tonight when I was talking to the people who have children that have passed away, a lot of times they see their children come in dreams. Sometimes they don't say anything. Sometimes the deceased or people that have crossed over just come to comfort us. They come to love us. They come to be there as Paul does. Sometimes they have a message. Sometimes they're just there to love us and to feel that and experience that. If we can't be with a soulmate that we're missing, that soulmate may come to us quite frequently in dreams. Sometimes they talk. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they say they're sorry. Sometimes they show us their anger or their regret. Anyone who's missing a soulmate that they can't be with, that's a common experience. Sometimes it comforts us a great deal to see them in our dreams. So, you know, dreams are just so multifaceted and so so fascinating. And unfortunately, my study of dream analysis was truncated because when I was first married, I was doing a lot of dream analysis, and I was writing down my dreams, and my ex-husband, who rapes boundaries and has no idea that, you know, you don't violate and read someone's journal, would read my journals and say, why are you dreaming about this person? Why is that man in your dreams? Why? And I stopped doing it. Because I felt so violated by this person coming into my dreams. And, you know, I mean, and this person coming, you know, and that analyzing my dreams, and I said, I can't write it down anymore. So my studies of dream were really cut short at that time. I think if you keep a dream journal, it's one of those things you should really keep hidden unless you want people to be reading it. I mean, I don't know about you, but I found it really offensive to have someone reading my dreams, because that means I felt like the person was going into my subconscious mind. Nobody's a right to do that.
Actually starting to write my dreams over about a year ago. Unfortunately, I threw those two journals out, but with all my wonderful poems and stories. But I needed to wipe away that slate, you know, make a clean slate. But I have started to record my dreams again, date them, you know, time them. I prefer to write them down if I can get the moment to do that. But I understand nobody really goes through my things here because there's nobody that's that interested. But
again, but, if someone had access to it, they really have access to your subconscious mind.
Well, I would imagine
powerful.
If there was somebody in my life, they would respect that boundary. So.
And that's what we would say, because it's very important. I mean, are you teaching your children to pay attention to their dreams?
Yeah, they each have their little journals. I don't know if they're writing them or not, but they have them.
Well, people who are soulfully connected, like when I was writing the play about Beethoven, and Shauna would sometimes be sleeping in her room, and I'd be writing a particular thing about Beethoven, whether it was about the French Revolution or something. She would wake up and say, Mom, I had a dream about the French Revolution. It would be really weird. I'd be like, and we're so soulfully connected that one time, you know, I was reading something about vampires or something, and she would tell me, I was dreaming about vampires. I mean, sometimes it's really scary, you knowing that person you're soulfully connected is actually telepathically getting a message from you. So
oddly enough, I've had two bedmates in my bed for the last couple of days with the air conditioner. I don't know what the hell they're dreaming about, but they're beating the shit out of me.
You mean,
is it
your kids?
Yes.
Yes. Are in there keeping you company?
Oh, God, Cindy, I hope with all the progress that we've made over the last year, you don't think it's not the kids with two bedmates.
So, oh, yeah, I mean... Again,
oh, they're dreaming. They must be very angry with me in their dreams.
Ooh, I don't know. I mean, it happens. You know, sometimes our subconscious mind has some wish fulfillment, and dreams can help us satisfy these repressed desires in one way or another.
I remember I used to date somebody who I was always mad at, and even though I would be awake, I would pretend I would sleep just so I could smack him upside the head.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, but do you ever think, you know, that your dreams can do that wish fulfillment, you know, if you're not with soulmate or you're, you know, could you make love in that dream?
Oddly enough, I have not had a sex dream. In
as horny as you might
I
be.
I have those waking dreams, though, a lot.
Well, I'm sure that she has other dreams, too, but not even a porn star would even venture to talk about some of the stuff that goes through her head. So.
All right, but that can be something that can occur. You know, dreams just have so many purposes. It's the most fascinating. Sometimes dreams can deal with our major conscious emotional problems and trauma. Sometimes they're trying to come to terms with our troubles. You know, we can dream about our actual problems that we're having in life, and the mind is trying to process this, and you know it's important to pay attention to what our dreams are telling us. Sometimes the dreams can reveal something we're not conscious of, we're not paying attention to, and we dream about a particular situation, and it does kind of say, "Oh, I need to pay attention to this particular dream because it's revealing something that maybe is going on in my life that I'm not fully conscious of," and it can bring that to our consciousness. I mean, I have found I've had some of the most fascinating dreams in my life that have been really revealing later on what was going on in life, and I needed to pay attention to them. When I was getting a divorce from my husband, the day the divorce was final, the night before that, and I was still sleeping in the same room with my husband, and he woke up almost screaming, saying, "Oh my God, I have all these like weird beings telling me, well, you had her all these years, your wife, and you were never paying attention to the messages she was trying to tell you, and she had a lot of things to teach you, and you really weren't paying attention, and after a while, we couldn't help you anymore. Don't blame it on us." Could you imagine him waking up having that dream?
Oops, I guess it's too late now.
I guess, oops, your angels and guides were trying to tell you, buddy, and now it's too late. Don't blame us. So, again, paying attention to dreams can really save us a lot of angst. Is there any dream that you might want to share with us that you've had recently?
Not at this time, no. Thank you.
Okay.
But I am going to ask you about this. I had my little reading today, and I had asked you, you know, just out of the blue, when I was going to have sex again. And you had said, maybe tomorrow. And I kind of thought about that all day. And I said, where am I going to be tomorrow? Oh, I'm going to be at Westbury Country Club playing a round of golf. But what's funny about that, Cindy, I've had this reoccurring waking dream about having sex on the golf course.
Well, you know, there might be some man that you're just going to meet there that's going to be so like, wow, I can't wait. And, yeah.
No, well, she definitely can't wait, Cindy, because in addition to putting golf balls in her golf bag today, she got the right kind of condoms.
Well, good for her, because we know we're advocates of safe sex on this radio show.
Of course.
Right?
Yes, of course.
Is definite number one thing in my book here. Okay.
Hey, Cindy.
Mm-hmm.
That would make my birthday the greatest birthday.
All right. So
it's already the best birthday ever. Now we just need it to be the greatest.
Let's just hope that she meets this really guy that's not only she going to have sex with him, but he's her absolute soulmate that she'll be having sex with the rest of life with.
Every day.
That would be better.
I got to make up for lost time here.
Well, I mean, you know, we all know that sex is part of sacred sexuality, part of loving with the heart, soul, mind, and body.
Yeah.
So we believe in that here. You know, dreams are a fascinating topic because the more you really get in touch with it, the more your subconscious mind is just going to be, like, speaking to you in clear ways. So, you know, a lot of times, you know, when we're going through life changes, we could have dreams. I know it's a common dream when women are pregnant that they sometimes might dream that, oh, my God, they didn't feed their baby. They forgot to feed it. They forgot to do this. That's just a way of telling us that, you know, sometimes we have fears, and, of course, acknowledging them is important. So, you know, when you're pregnant, you have pretty vivid dreams. I don't know if you remember any dreams when you were pregnant, but I had, like, these incredible vivid dreams. And, again, it was just, you know, my way of preparing for having that baby coming into my life. So certain periods of time, we might have more vivid dreams than other times. Other times, our dreams may be not so vivid or important. I know during the period of time that, you know, Kim has been through a rough year, her dreams have been pretty vivid during this time.
Beyond vivid.
Beyond vivid, yeah. And that's good.
Okay.
So if you're going to be interpreting dreams, it would help you to understand that there are certain universal symbols. The ocean means similar things to most people. If you see the moon or the sun or stars. Some people dream in color. Some people don't.
I dream in color. The dreams always 100% take place during the day.
Really?
In bright sunlight. They do not take.
Never dark dreams?
Nope. They're always during the day.
But my dreams are always very dark. They never light. Mine never take place during the day. Isn't that unusual?
There's always conversation and a little confusion in the dreams. And without getting too much into it, some anger issues in the dream, not directly related to me, but the people in the dream are usually angry, but I come to release the anger, so to speak. Not in a sexual
way.
So
you're processing subconscious anger and anger issues, which is important because we all do have rage issues, and they tend, you know, sometimes I really...
They're non-violent dreams. I mean, they're
not
violent.
No, but sometimes we'll be not in touch with the fact that we do have anger issues until it comes across in the dream. So that's a way of our subconscious mind saying you've got some anger issues, not you, but any person that they need to address, you know,
Oh no! Last week we realized that I'm in the anger phase and I'm angry. I am angry, Dr. Cindy. and I'm kind of laughing at it because I always say I'm not an angry person, but I'm in my anger phase. So don't piss me off, people. But,
yeah, don't piss her off, people.
Okay, so sometimes it's revealed in dreams, anger issues can come through, and that's an important thing. Sometimes, you know, I've had dreams in which I trusted a person in my life. I thought they could be trusted, and my dreams kept showing this person not to be a person who I could trust. And later on, maybe it took a year or two to reveal, that person couldn't be trusted. And I'm like, why didn't I pay attention to that dream that was really trying to save me a lot of angst? And again, paying attention to what our dreams might be telling us could save us, you know, some heartache in the future. So, again, if your dreams are revealing that someone shouldn't be trusted, maybe you can pay attention to that a little more. And
it's not a matter of trust in the dream, but
no,
I wish I would have dreamt about my babysitter 2 years ago. But anyway, go on.
And was it telling you that you couldn't trust her and it came out to be true?
No, she was wishing that she had a dream about her babysitter because the babysitter wound up not so good a person.
Yes.
Anyway,
you know,
that's the past.
Sometimes dreams can give a way of giving closure to a situation. If we didn't get to say goodbye to someone or tell him for everything we needed to say, we can find ourselves doing so in our dreams. So, you know, dreams have so many purposes, and each dream needs to be examined for what it's trying to reveal or what it might tell us. Now, if we want to have, say, some vivid dreams, we can do certain things to make it happen. And part of that might be to tell ourselves before we go to sleep that we want to be able to control our dreams, and we want to have particular vivid ones, and then see what takes place. Is that
I do tell people you can condition. They say I don't remember my dreams. You can condition yourself to remember. I don't recommend passing out drunk or stoned out of your mind because that's kind of almost impossible to remember anything with clarity. But you can condition yourself. You can practice what I call meditation before you go to bed and really focus on remembering your dreams. And I always, you know, I always use a little thing where I say to myself, I'm going to remember my dreams tonight, and I say it like 3 to 5 times. And generally speaking, it does work, but you really got to focus on it and clear your mind, you know, without the TV on and so on and so forth. So it does take practice, but after you practice it for a while, it works.
Right, it's true. And a lot of times when you're going through the experience of enlightenment, as I went through, you will have dreams in which there's always a house, and there's always, you know, I was telling you, dreaming about my house that I lived in Meadowbrook Road, that there's rooms that you don't know that exist in the house, and they're usually upstairs, and you're trying to find them and go to them. That's a way of showing that you're evolving and moving upward. Those are enlightenment dreams sometimes when you're searching through these rooms, unknown rooms. That's your mind, trying to search through your mind. But I used to have dreams also in which I would get divine guidance and spiritual training. We do go into the astral plane to get spiritual training. So that's important dreams. And, you know, dreaming at the beach and ocean is so common all the time. So, I mean, or water. Those are dreams to pay attention to your subconscious mind. So, again, how much we're going to remember about our dreams is how much we're going to want to recall them and want to remember them. So If you don't want to remember, then you're probably not going to. But if it's an important message, it usually be such a strong dream that you will remember. How long have the two of you been practicing this understanding of your dreams or trying to? Is this something recent that you both decided to do?
Well, I have, ever since the Paul incident, where he actually died, you know, 5 or 6 years later, I've always kind of listened to my dreams more. And they've been more profound, you know. And sometimes they actually come to pass, Cindy. A lot of them, you know, the ones that I really find pretty profound come to pass. And that was probably, God, 15 years ago. I'm going to say about 15 years ago I started to really try to remember my dreams and you know, now I just write them down because, you know, I'm on a whole different, you know, path right now, but and try to figure them out, you know, the reoccurring ones anyway.
Okay. You know, sometimes we have dreams of being pursued or chased after. Those are pretty scary dreams. Has anybody ever had those where you feel like you're being chased after?
I don't know. It happens in real life, but not my dreams.
Those are scary. Now, how can we dream our way to a higher love? Well, Kim, you seem to be, you know, Kim has some interesting dreams that she doesn't want to share with us, but Nicole, you seem to have, did you will this dream to have this soulmate in your dream, or is this something that just occurred
to
you?
No, actually, the way that it happened was back for Mother's Day, okay, because as you know, Cindy, I'm very, very close with Kim's children, and, you know, they're my little godchildren, and I love them. As if they were my own. So if I don't ever get a chance to be a mother on this earth, then I already have what it, you know, the feeling of what it's like to be a mom because of Kim's kids.
And they are amazing.
They are absolutely amazing. And what Kim and her daughter made for me on Mother's Day, since I'm the godmother, was my very own wish book where they decorated it. They put different things, you know, that was going to help me map everything out. And in this wish book, I put a picture of what I would like my ideal soulmate to look like and what I would like and different characteristics that I would like my soulmate to possess and different ways that I would like to interact with this particular soulmate. So I've got this a couple of pictures plastered in my wish book, and it all stems from there because all of a sudden I would have like a random dream that would have this particular person in it. And then all of a sudden the dreams started getting more and more personal. And then I got to the point where I was like, okay, I'm like, well, there's something else happening here. And then, you know, once I started really, really exploring it and once I started getting like random thoughts that I would never think pop into my head, that's when I was just like, okay, what's going on? And now I think in these dreams that the person that's in my wish book, obviously it's not really that person, but that's the image of what I want, and that's the image that comes to me or that has come to me in the past, you know, 30 days or so, about 15 times.
Wow.
And this actually, this idea actually came from a book called The Key to Living the Law of Attraction. It's the handbook workbook, which I actually made her a little handbook workbook because I always tell people, know what it is that you want and write it down on paper. That way it's materialized. Oh, we have a caller.
Yes, we do. I think it's number 15.
You think it's number 15? It is.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, 15.
Am I on the air?
Yes,
you are on the air, 15.
You saved
me a copy
add?
Of the show, but I didn't listen, but I just wanted to say happy birthday, and in the 20 days that I've known you, you've changed my life more than you could ever imagine.
Thank you, Fisher.
Wow, what a great thing to say. And we were just talking about dreams and how they affect our lives, and everyone's been sharing their ideas on dreams and what it feels like to experience that. Do you have anything you want to say about dreams? Do you have vivid dreams or...
Isn't that ironic that we're talking about this?
Actually,
15 did not know what the topic was tonight, so...
I read it on the website.
Oh, okay.
I had a horrible dream. I have nightmares all the time. And last Friday night into Saturday, I had a horrible dream, and I told Kim about it, and she told me, I forget exactly what she said, I haven't had a nightmare since. And...
Wow!
But But my dreams are still going back to my neighborhood that I grew up in. I still
Very
haven't
common.
Killed my brother, but I'm trying to. But I've had, I don't mean to say a double negative, but I've had no nightmares since. And,
I'm happy to hear
I
that.
I actually had a dream last Friday, and the number on a clock was 858, and the number that Kim wanted me to play the next day came out 856, and then on Monday I found out my car clock was 2 minutes fast. And it was on time. I didn't get a chance to tell Kim this, but
I'm listening.
If my clock was on time, it would have been on the money.
So oh, my God.
Next time, 15. $10 straight,
right.
Okay? You split the proceeds with me, okay?
All right. Happy birthday, sweetheart.
Thank you, darling.
But it is Kim's birthday, and we're dreaming about her today, so.
No, nobody dreamed about me.
You can't dream about her. It's her birthday.
Unless it's that tall, dark man on the golf course with the nice smile.
Now, everyone out there, what we want you to get out of the show is that you have much more control over remembering your dreams than you think, and that if you're having a scary dream, it's probably good that you start paying attention to what it's telling you. You can definitely be given a soulmate love. Sometimes it's prophesied through a dream. Mine always are. I dream that this is going to occur or something's going to happen. I actually dreamed where I was going to meet this person. It was revealed to me. So sometimes when we get something like that, it's just to make us pay attention that something wonderful is going to be happening in our life and coming forward. And I really am going to be fascinated to hear more about Nicole as she travels through it because, I mean, I have a book here. I wish I remember the name of it, but they really talk about, it's my twin soul book. In the twin soul book, they have experiences of the twin souls having dreamed about each other before they actually met.
Mm.
And so I'm really going to find this fascinating.
Well, I will be sure to keep you posted, Cindy.
And we have 3 minutes left, so I'm going to
actually so shout out.
I am going to give a shout out. I am going to say thank you, Larry, for those wonderful flowers. They were beautiful. Taff, thank you for paying off my credit card. I was wondering how that was going to happen. I manifested it and it happened. And all the lovely gifts and all the day out on the town on Monday, I think. And thank you, Nicole, for the amazing day that I had with you. Thank you to my children. I love them so very much. They are just
amazing. Did they give
amazing.
You presents, too?
They did. I got my Converse sneakers
oh,
that say the doors on them, which is
sneakers.
One of my...
I've never seen you wear sneakers.
I know, but that's what my daughter wanted to get me, and my son broke my pen, so he did get me a new engraved pen, which made me very happy. And I got my GPS, so I will be able to find Old Westbury Golf Course with no problems, and I will be playing around with Jerry Blaine tomorrow. Hopefully, we will be able to have him on the show next week. So that's
the one
Jerry
you're
Blaine.
Have sex with?
No. That's jerryblaine.com. He's a comedian actor, and you can check out his website. And no, Jerry's just a friend. But I will make him aware of in case I have to run out into the rough. So. And Cindy,
what?
Thank you for today. And
and you
I
know
love
what?
You all.
Come think about the synchronicity of that. Kim's been wanting a reading for a couple of weeks, and I've been so busy. I haven't had time to schedule it. And the day that opens up is today, and it was her birthday.
And I didn't tell Cindy it was my birthday.
Right, yeah. And then she came on that day. Isn't that like a little freaky? It's only. Yeah.
Oh, and if anybody was interested in the question of the day, the answer is yes, he did. That's all I got to say.
Oh, good.
Love you all.
Nicole, anything you want to say?
Actually, you know what? Now that we've been talking about dreaming, I'm just going to feed into this, and I'm just going to do a shout out to whoever is coming to me in my dreams. And I'm just going to say, I'll see you later.
Oh my goodness!
I'm just going with it now, Sin.
And I wish all of our listeners out there that they really dream themselves to a higher love. And thank you all for the nominations that are coming in from the Long Island Press. Everybody's been saying they've been doing it, and I really, really appreciate that because I know it takes time, and I know it's a big pain in the neck.
And don't forget, you can get Grant Me a Higher Love on Amazon.com. Please get the book. It's very
and
insightful.
We'll all, and we'll, there's going to be a workbook and an audiobook coming out. So anyway, we'll all see you next week. Maybe we're going to have a comedy show next week. I'm hoping on that one.
Yes, well, Derek Lane, yes. I love you guys. Thank you, everybody.
Bye.
We dreamed.